The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Between the What and the Rust episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 717, and I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron, and dear listeners, this episode is brought to you by the fine folks at True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. Go out there, check it out. It's more than coffee. It's coffee made by metalheads for metalheads. It's coffee that comes with music, if you subscribe. It's cool metal coffee drinking items. Metal themed, I guess. Special mugs, special shirts. Because the gentleman that runs True Call Coffee also has embodiment printing press. And he's a bit of a renaissance man in the things that he creates. Mm-hmm. So, it's... man, it's just... It's a great company. It's great coffee. Snowy loves it. Drinks it all the time. And go out and support them, because you're not supporting some giant conglomerate. You're supporting a local dude in the metal community. True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. What's going on, Snowman?
Well, I'm definitely going to need to up my subscription to True Cult Coffee to keep that nice, warm liquid goodness just to keep it coming in, because I know we're in the middle of September now, but only today am I really feeling like it's fall time. You know, like generally you can tell right away, like as soon as September hits up here, the fall weather kicks in and it starts to get a little more chillier, and some of the rain starts to come. Like, you can just feel that summer is over. Well, up here, you know, summer kind of went into extra innings for a while, and only today, Friday as we speak, is it finally feeling like fall time and all that. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun episode. I don't have... What I did discover, though... Okay, you will recall last episode, I was christening my new Runaways mug.
Oh yeah,
you know, I was doing the fireballs in my Runaways mug, and about halfway through the week, I discovered that this awesome new mug, you can drink coffee in it too, not just
what?
Whiskey. Yeah.
No.
I
couldn't
believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was so floored by that. Okay, like not just whiskey. It's okay. Okay, you know, like when you're, I don't know, when you first discovered Led Zeppelin, you're 12.
Yeah.
Or whatever, okay. And it's on the radio. And someone walks into the room and like turns the radio down, and you're like, what? You can turn Zeppelin down?
No, really, you can't.
I couldn't believe that. No, I couldn't believe it. Like, yeah, I'm totally in denial. Like, totally. Holy shit. So that was kind of the same thing when I poured some True Cobalt coffee into my brand new Runaways mug, and it tasted extra special coming out of that. But yeah, it's Friday night and a beautiful fall night, meaning it's dark, rainy, and gloomy, just preparing. Hey, the Halloween season. You know, that's kind of the way I like to look at it. And they kind of, when, like, high school was a long time ago. Okay, but there was nothing more exciting than, you know, those first couple weeks back in the fall time. Okay, because Friday nights were always lit. You know, there was always a party going on somewhere. You know, Friday after school, we would hit the record shops and then find a house party. Or just, it was just a magical time. Okay, and coming home, you know, these today and all that, I could feel that same vibe that I felt in high school. So we're going to kind of keep the party going here, not only with recording this, but as soon as we're done this, dude, I'm stepping out into the music world, because I think I mentioned it last episode. My good buddy Denise Ferguson, there is going to be, this evening as we speak, there's going to be a fundraiser for her to help her out in her funeral expenses for her mother that passed away a couple weeks ago. And of course, our regular listeners will know who Denny is. She's a very important part of the music scene here in Winnipeg. You know, I knew her first as Bangus Young, as part of the Winnipeg Roller Derby, and we just kind of became friends over the years, and we're friendly rivals, of course, in the Ambassador of the Year category for the Manitoba Loud Awards. Yeah.
And while I do wish her the best, I want to forever call you Ambassador.
Well, I'm hoping. If I don't win it, I'd be more than happy to, you know, concede the award to her. So everyone, do your Cool Uncle Snowy large. www.loudawards.ca. Go and vote in all of the categories, but right at the beginning, the very first episode, because it's alphabetized, is Ambassador of the Year. Don't look for Snowy, though, because unfortunately they had to set me up with my slave name of Quentin Earhart, unfortunately, because they just, the people that were putting the awards on outside of Denny, they only knew me through Facebook up to that point. And for some reason, calling me Snowy on Facebook was, I don't know, a threat to national security or whatever bullshit and all that. So, yeah, go loudawards.ca, check out all the categories. But make sure you mark an X for your Cool Uncle Snowy. Before we kind of get on with the grunt here, as my dad would say, we want to say horns up and happy birthday to Mr. Caton DePina. It is his birthday as we speak. And of course, Caton is mostly known for fronting the mighty Hyrax. Of course, Hyrax, you know, the legendary Hyrax, they go back into the mid-80s, their debut record, Raging Violence. I remember buying that record, just sound unheard. It had a cool cover, good review in Metal Forces magazine, you know, just all of those things that we had to go by because there were no internet at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the radio, sure shit wasn't playing, wasn't going to be playing Hyrax.
Oh, are you kidding? Not according to all the millennials today. All this stuff was radio metal, especially Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think, you know, they looked it up on the internet. It's always true.
Of course, of course. If it's on the internet, then it's got to be true.
Everything's true. Abraham Lincoln said that.
That's right. So, yeah, Caton, good friend of the show. So, happy birthday, my friend, and many more to come. How about we get on with it here for True Cavalt Coffee in tonight's mandatory metal segment. I didn't realize, just a couple of years ago, Osmose Productions had re-released a whole whack of their back catalog, including the classic Driller Killer album, Brutalize. So, kind of getting us into the spirit. It's fall time. Let's get into the spirit of Halloween a little earlier with some Driller Killer. This is Bombs Away.
Been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Hey, dude, as I pour drink number two here on this awesome Friday night, why don't you share us your metal fix?
All right, so first and foremost, I was talking, I think I mentioned when I bought the Rust in Peace book by, it says by Dave Mustaine.
Right.
With Joel Selvin.
Okay.
And so I'm expecting this to be similar to, you know, similar to what happened with the Dave Mustaine biography, where he's just basically telling the narrative.
Okay.
And I think we all know Dave has a pretty strong ego, right?
Yeah. Like, even back in the old underground days when he really shouldn't have, it was definitely there.
Oh, I think it was stronger then. Like I honestly feel like he has mellowed with age, but but
oh, that's mellowing,
okay. You know, but he's got a pretty strong ego. And so the book says Dave Mustaine, Rust in Peace, the inside story. It's not just Dave Mustaine, it's the entire band. And basically the way they did it is they picked a subject, drummers, and then Dave talks, Dave Ellison talks, Chuck Beeler's in here, Nick Menz is in here. Like, all these different people share their perspective of a particular subject, right? Mm-hmm. They have the managers in here. They have the mixing engineers. Like, everybody is in here in their own words, like not just Dave. And I'm like, but Dave's on the cover, you know, like the classic gun belt shirtless Dave from that era. And I'm like, and like huge letters, Dave Mustaine, and then Rust in Peace. Like, now that said, like that makes me laugh because, you know, I think we all know, again, Dave's ego, right? The book is fantastic because of that. Because, you know, you'll get somebody's perspective and Dave will be like, that's not what happened. That's not what I remember. Or, you know, Mustaine says something and they're like, no, you guys are out of your mind, you know? And so it's really cool to see that. And I want to point out that our friend and show alum, Bob Nalbandian, is in here. He's got a picture in here.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, I think he's actually got like a paragraph or two in here too, because it's really cool. But the one thing for anyone who's reading it, you can tell, and you can tell tell pretty quickly that this was done remotely with people using like voice to text kind of apps.
Oh, okay.
There's typos galore, you know, and you can. Like it had to be done low budget because apparently they didn't pay anybody to check that stuff, you know, which I find interesting. But yeah, dude, it is totally worth your time. It's a fun read. It's an easy read and it's just a great time.
Right on.
Yeah, just a great time. So next up, Clutch dropped a new record today. I've been waiting for this one. Sunrise on Slaughter Beach.
I love that title.
Oh, it's a fantastic title. The album art's fantastic. They have a picture disc for it. And the other thing I think you would dig, my standout track, Nosferatu Madre.
Ooh, okay.
It's so great. Such a great song. The minute I heard it, I'm like, whoa, what track is this? And I looked at the title, I'm like, oh, I'm writing that down. Like, that's phenomenal, right? And that ties into my next two things. This one's not necessarily metal. It's probably more of a horror thing. But I was ordering something for one of my kids for something. I don't even know what, but it somehow I came across the Wolfman Funko Pop. Like the 19...
Really?
Yeah, like the old classic one, like the 1930s version.
Oh, Lon Chaney. I want one of those. Yes.
I was surprised how affordable it was. Like, it wasn't blown out of proportion like a lot of them were. Because the one I really wanted was the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what that one's going for currently on Amazon?
$100?
$195.
Oh, wow.
But at the same time, goodness, is it sweet looking.
No,
like,
I know.
It's phenomenal. But yeah, so I got the Wolfman Funko Pop. And then to go along with that, because I think, you know, everybody who's been a long time listener should know werewolves are like my favorite thing. Did you hear on October 7th, I believe? I actually put it on my calendar at work because I have another coworker who also gets into the Marvel stuff. And I told him we need to host a team celebration. But I believe it's October 7th, but Werewolf by Night is going to have a one-shot this Halloween.
Yes, yes. I saw it. I saw the trailer. I was waiting for you to bring it up.
What do you think about the trailer?
It kind of, it was definitely bizarre. It was not what I was kind of expecting, but... I don't know if it's a take on the more modern Werewolf by Night, because obviously I'm familiar for the most part with the 70s comic book.
Oh, okay. You know? So when you say more modern, I was going to ask if you meant the most recent series that they did.
Yeah, which I had no idea that they did really until like very recently.
Oh, so you haven't read it yet?
No. Oh. And I'm kind of assuming that's what this is based on.
No, I don't think so. Right. So the current series leans heavily into Native American folklore.
Oh, okay.
And it is such a phenomenal take on the werewolf story. It honestly, like, it kind of goes along with, like, the werewolf folklore laid out by the Twilight books. But better. Way better. Okay. It's a fantastic story. It's a great story, like, celebrating Native American culture and bringing, you know, those people into the spotlight. I really love it. Like, I love werewolves, and, you know, like we talked about Ms. Marvel, you know, people that they get turned off by other cultures. I'm like, this is great. Like, this makes my day. And sorry, I don't know why my dogs are going crazy, but apparently they're losing their minds.
All right.
It's fantastic. But when I watch the trailer, right, and this is why I want to get your take on it. The trailer looks like a cross between, like, the Nosferatu-esque silent films and some of those early B film weirdo psychological horror movies.
Like, it was a different spin from what I was kind of anticipating.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't because I was honestly hoping for a series based on the latest comics, right? The latest miniseries they had there. Cause I love the story, but then this, I'm like, okay, this could be fun. And what I'm hoping is if this, if this is successful, then we're probably going to get, hopefully maybe we'll get like some more werewolf series and things. But I was honestly surprised that Disney leaned into that title.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. And it's just going to be very interesting to see what happens, especially since it's on Disney Plus. And for Halloween, they typically have more family-friendly movies, you know, for Halloween. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I don't know. I'm excited nonetheless. October 7th. Everybody mark your calendars. Right on.
Yeah. Hope I'm okay, because if this does well, then maybe that gets the fine folks over at Archie, you know, well, hey, you see how Marvel did with that Werewolf by Night? How about our Jughead the Hunger? I wonder if that,
if that could be made into a series. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That and,
I need more of those books.
Veronica.
Yeah, they need more of those books. The Jughead the Hunger, and I don't know if it's just because it's the familiar Archie characters, and it's a great story, but it's possibly one of my favorite werewolf stories. Like, I love it, and because it's not, I think it's really because it's not watered down by being Archie. It's just characters that you know. You know, it'd be kind of like if you told a werewolf story with, like, your family or your neighbors or something, like a bunch of people you're already aware of. You know their habits, their traits. You know, it's great. It's really, really great.
Yeah, and I would like to see it. Because already, like, they've already shown, okay, like, with Riverdale, and then they really, really amped it up with the Sabrina series. So hey, let's go all out. Let's go all out.
A Jughead the Hunger series would make me so happy.
right on. What else you got?
That's everything, man. What's going on with you?
Okay, hold on to your hats. Okay, not a lot. And this time when I say that, it really is. It haven't really had much going on. Like last episode, I had that absolutely killer metal fix with all the shows and the albums and all, you know, this week, well, not so much. I just got a couple cool records across my desk. Oh, but before I kind of get into that, my work day today,
yeah.
As soon as I walk into work, I flip on the radio. First song, Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how you start a Friday. Last song, as I'm getting my act together, I'm walking out the door, my all-time favorite song, The Cult's Fire Woman. Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Nice, man.
I left work with a big-ass smile on my face. And then I kind of ran to the liquor store on the way home to get some supplies for tonight. And now we're here rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling, styling and profiling. A couple of really cool records came across my desk this week. Since we're talking about cool comic books and all that neat stuff, really new cool band debut record is going to be available. A self-titled debut record will drop September 23rd from a band called Sonja, Sonja, which I'm assuming, the only time I've ever seen that word Sonja is from the Red Sonja comic book series. First, or I should say, it was originally like a Ronnie Howard novel. The same guy that wrote the Conan novels.
Oh, yeah, I
From,
can't remember who that is, but I know what you're
yeah, I can't
saying.
remember his name. He also created Red Sonja, and of course, once Marvel picked up the Conan, it's like, oh, well, we're doing really good with the Conan series. Let's pick up this Red Sonja throughout the 70s and early 80s. Now, Dynamite Comics has, I don't know, about six different Red Sonja titles, and I'm reading like three of them and all that. And I recently found a Red Sonja pop Funko Pop doll
Oh, nice.
as well. Yeah. So obviously the name caught my attention. All right. Going through the band's bio and all that, it's fronted playing guitar one Melissa Moore. Okay, and what her story is she is an ex-member of the black metal band Abzu. Who I've seen Abzu live. I don't know if she was in Abzu at the time when they came through town. We have played Abzu on the show before, but something tells me not going to be. I'm really not too stoked on getting behind Abzu anymore, considering they fired Melissa Moore from the band when she transgendered from I guess whatever her name was then to Melissa, and they fired her for that.
Well, did they fire her because she changed genders, or did they fire her because she doesn't sound the same?
No, she wasn't the singer, she was a player.
Oh, well, then what
Yeah.
the hell's the problem?
Well, because they're bigoted assholes. Like that's all I could really think. That's really all that there is. So they gave her walking papers over that, and she said, "Well, fuck you guys. I'm going to go and do my own thing." And thus the awesome straight up hard rocking band Sonja. Yeah, great new record. We'll drop a track from that. As well, obviously, you name your band Skeletor, you're going to catch my attention as well. Their latest record, Blood Empire, should be available now. They're kind of like they hail from Seattle, and what I kind of like they're metal, but they kind of got their own take on it. Particularly the lyrics, because a lot of it has to do particularly with Star Trek. So I've kind of created in for Skeletor, I've kind of created my own sub genre of Seattle geek metal.
Jeez.
I think that really fits. And there are times when you're listening to this record, Jason Conde, Houston, some of his vocals, there are times he does sound like Skeletor from the He-Man cartoon. It's like, wow, really? I don't know if my mind is just playing tricks with me because of their moniker or whatever, but Yeah, it's like, oh shit, he actually sounds like Skeletor in some of these. So let's give an example of that right now. That new Rec Nightu new EP, Blood Empire, from Seattle geek metalers Skeletor. This is Deed of Honor.
Thank you.
September 23rd, check out the new record from Sonia that is Neon, or not Neon, Neon Nights. Ah, that is Nylon Nights. I'm sure our veteran listeners will forgive me for making that minor little flub there. What wasn't a flub, though, was the awesome new record from One Megadeth. Now, did it dropped last week, I believe, or about a week and a half ago?
A rock on.
Yeah. Did you? And the only physical copy, I believe that's available right now, is the vinyl. But I did manage to give it a listen onto the YouTubes and all that. Did you get a chance to give it a spin?
Oh yeah, dude, a couple times.
Right on. Well, I thought maybe we would take a couple minutes out of this episode and just kind of go over our thoughts, some points here and there, you know, about what we kind of want to get out to our listeners about this record. Just kind of simple enough. What's your first thought? When you were done listening to this?
Well, I took a lot of notes. I've listened to it a couple times. I've done yoga to it. And I'm a big fan. My standout track is Night Stalkers.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the first one that grabs me. I think it's like the second track on the record. And I was actually listening to it when you called. So okay. Let me see if I can pull that up somewhere. Yeah, you know, it's funny, like when you say about listening to it on YouTube, I do struggle with the new way that we do things nowadays. But Night Stalkers featuring Ice-T, that's the one I was talking about like last week, that just has one of the greatest recorded bass sounds I think I've ever heard. And what's funny is it's only for that 1 second. The bass the rest of the time is kind of unremarkable, because I was really listening to it this time. But I love it. It's 5 minutes is the bass sound, and it's just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Like, no, for sure. A standout track for myself, I don't know. That's you're right. Like, Night Stalkers is really cool. Life in Hell is definitely a glimpse to 80s Megadave, shall we say. The first single, I guess the single Soldier On, I guess the first.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah,
that really,
oh my goodness,
that really
one
emphasized 80s Megadeth as well. So I'm having a hard time kind of picking out a standout track. But
there are so many that grab me. That's just it.
It like, is.
Soldier On was on my list, right? Killing Time was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is there, what about Mission to Mars? Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I listened to the whole record, and then I got about 2/3 of the way a second time. So that track is kind of a little bit fuzzy, but there wasn't a what I recall from the whole thing. And once the CD comes out, like, I'm going to be familiarizing myself just as much as like those first four records, you know, with this, because that's kind of how I feel about them. So right now I don't really have a standout track, but what about Mission to Mars?
Well, there's a phenomenal callback to the Peace Sells record and Peace Sells in general. Okay. There's a line, and I only caught it on the second pass through. It says, "We have a new way, and you're the first in line." Literally, I got goosebumps, and the smile on my face could not have gotten bigger, dude. Could not have gotten bigger. Oh my God. Goodness, when I heard that, I was instantly a teenager again. It's like, holy crap, yes! Yeah, dude.
It made my day. Okay, so we're done this. I'm gonna have to go back onto the YouTubes and find that before I step out tonight. Like I'm gonna want to give that a listen.
You've
Yes.
got to, dude. It's so good.
Right on, right on. Yeah, the whole record, okay, is just, it is a return to the Megadeth that I love the most, what I will call the 80s Megadeth.
But it doesn't sound like it.
Maybe not in terms of production
Yes, that's what I mean.
and Dave's voice. Okay, but musically and some of the lyrics as well.
Oh, lyrically, absolutely.
Yeah, you can really tell, okay, like this is Dave almost wanting to reinvent himself by going into the past, if that makes sense, which in my bizarre little mind, that does kind of make sense. So I honestly think that you could take this record, okay, and rewind, and you can drop it, into their discography between So Far So Good, So What, and Rust in Peace, and I think it would be flawless.
You could put some of these songs on Peace Sells and nobody would have noticed. Like, it would have
Oh,
just
I'm
felt
sure.
like it. Yeah. Okay, I get it, Mocha. Sorry, I don't know what's going on, but the dogs are both here and feel it needs my attention. Oh, so I don't know what's going on. Oh, chill out, puppy. It's okay. Sorry about that, everybody. But anyway.
Dog bark, barking dogs is all part of podcasting.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah, these two girls are losing their mind tonight. Loving to pieces. But anyway, yeah, dude, it's almost like Dave and let's say James or Lars were sitting down, having a nice meal together, talking about the old days, and somebody brings up the latest Metallica record, Hardwired. And like, oh yes, you guys are trying to return to the old sound. Oh, what do you mean? We did it. No, I could do it better than you guys can do it. It's so good. It feels like Dave was proving his point and had to win a bet. It's just so good.
Right.
It's so good. So then, like the closer, like the last Megadeth track on the record. Hang on, I've got all my notes here. We'll be back.
Okay,
Dude, I
yeah.
love it. I love it. It's just killer.
It's kind of like at the end of some movies where, to be continued,
Yeah.
this character will appear in the next movie, like they did with the James Bond and the Marvel movies and all that.
Oh,
So
yeah.
yeah. Are you kind of surprised though at all, like, 'cause Dave, this day and age, he's old now, he's a little more on the conservative side, shall we say. Are you surprised that conservative Dave has pulled this record off?
No. I think it's I honestly think he's probably been wanting to put this one out for a little longer, or like I said, it's like the bet somebody challenged him. But I mean, it's Dave Mustaine, dude. Like reading the book and reading his biography, and I mean, this was a guy that was told he lost 80% mobility in his arm and he was never going to have it back.
I remember that.
And he's still playing guitar at the level he plays guitar. I mean, he's still one of the most badass guitarists I've ever seen live, period. I
Me
mean,
too,
now
yeah.
he's a one trick pony. He can't do anything that's not Megadeth, right?
Okay.
Because I think I told the story about him trying to play Jimi Hendrix, right? At the Experience Hendrix thing.
Refresh me.
Well, it was terrible.
Okay.
So Experience Hendrix had dude, it was.
Don't pull any punches.
I know.
Just say
Stop
it. Yeah.
sugarcoating. I
Yeah,
know.
don't sugarcoat
Yeah,
nothing.
but so Zakk Wylde's on the bill. What's his name? Eric Johnson's on the bill. Dave Satriani's on, no, not Dave Satriani. Joe Satriani. You have like a who's who of guitar players, and I'd seen this tour before. And it came through again, and Dave was on it this time. I'm like, oh, I gotta see Dave. you know, I'm like, I can't wait to see. I'm like, because I know Dave is a big classic rock fan, a big, you know, punk rock fan, and there's lots of stuff that he loves. Well, you can tell that Dave is used to being the driving force in his band, and he went out there and played Jimi Hendrix's Fire as if Megadeth were covering Jimi Hendrix's Fire.
Okay.
The problem is,
uh-oh,
the backing band was swinging it like Jimi Hendrix.
Ah.
It did not mix well. It's like, Dave, what the hell are you doing, dude? it just was not great. And it's so funny because Dave doesn't make mistakes. Like, he's not that guitarist. Like, he's a badass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, he just doesn't know how to follow other people. People follow Dave. Like, Dave's the leader here, you know?
Right.
And same thing. Like, I don't know if you remember, but, you know, so Metallica did their Symphony of Metallica. Well, Dave was going to play with a symphony, not Megadeth, Dave, right? And
okay,
he was going to play like a couple of very famous classical pieces, like Ride of the Valkyries or something like that, right? And up into the performance, like, the social media press was insane. Like, Dean Guitars and Dave are posting something every day. Hey, we're building this guitar. It's got F holes. It's made to look like a violin. It's gorgeous. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And then nothing. I'm like, wow, that's weird. You know, one day I'm like, hey, like, that's got to be on DVD somewhere. Like, there's no way Dave's not going to, you know, merchandise that. And then so I'm looking around. I can't find anything. I finally find a video of it. Sucked.
No.
He wasn't in tune. He wasn't in time. And the thing is, it's not like he can't pull off the music, but Dave doesn't play with other people. Other people play with Dave, you know?
For sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Like there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're going to do other projects, you need to be aware of your strengths and weaknesses, dude. You know, but I mean, that said, this album is a fantastic album. Now let's talk covers, because this is probably going to be blasphemy. It makes sense to me that they did Police Truck, but I didn't like their cover of Police Truck.
Actually, yeah. See, I have this in my notes. Okay. Why does that make sense to you?
Because they did Anarchy in the UK.
Right, but this is when I'm talking conservative Dave. Like, okay, the Dead Kennedys, though, very, very far, far left-wing band. Like, Jello Biafra is so far left, like, you just don't know where he's coming or going. Like, he was running for vice president with the Green Party. You have to remember that, okay? Right. Mr. Mustaine, okay, the Dave Mustaine that did Anarchy, and don't get me wrong, I am stoked that they did Police Truck, obviously, being a big Dead Kennedys fan myself.
Yeah, but it's not great. Like, I went back and listened to the original, and they lost a lot of the magic of the original.
This was definitely a metal band that just Dave was singing, like, it just, yeah, you're right. This was not one of the better covers. Okay, it was adequate. It didn't blow me away like Megadeth's version of Anarchy or Napalm Death's version of Nazi Punk's Fuck Off. Like, you know, this is definitely not going to be in the same conversation as those two. But to my point is, the Dave of today is not the Dave of, you know, of the 80s back then when he was young, dumb, and full of cum, and, you know, and he was a borderline punk rocker himself. I'm not seeing that now. So, well, I'm really surprised to see him cover like a so far left band like the Dead Kennedys. I'm glad he did.
Well, but is it because of the subject matter, the beliefs, or you don't think that conservatives want to burn anything down? Because I believe January 6th proved that wrong. Well, right?
True enough. Which, On the past, like I've spoken out against January 6th, and I do want to say, okay, since we've kind of veered off into it,
yeah,
I am all for burning down the Capitol building.
There we go. That's what we need to hear.
I am all for the same with the building, you know, the legislative here and the legislative in Ottawa, the Capitol building in Ottawa and all that. Where they went wrong in January 6th, and I'm not going to get up on a soapbox, is they were all duped by Trump.
Well, they were also let in, dude. Like, that was...
They were let in by Trump.
Everybody who tries to tell me that they stormed it and, you know, everybody was overwhelmed, I'm like, listen, if we were watching this in a movie, you would be turning to me and telling me how that was so unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Like, one of my very dear friends who is 100% believes that was all true, I'm like, dude, I haven't been able to watch a movie with you for 20 fucking years without you breaking everything apart, and you believe this nonsense?
This is, yeah. Because trust me, if there was a Black Lives Matter protest outside of the Capitol building...
Oh, they would have shot the fuck out of everybody.
There would have been security and SWAT and the military brought out.
Yeah, people would have been it would have been justified violence. Like, there have been people that have been so excited to participate because that's the thing, man. People get off on that. Like, you know, and this is going to be controversial, but a lot of times if you're the school bully, where else can you get a job where you can be a bully? Well, maybe you're going to be a principal. Maybe you're going to be a gym teacher. Maybe you're going to be a cop.
Maybe you're going to be a cop. Maybe you're going to join the military.
Yeah. You know? And so just, Anyway, I digress, but
what were we saying now?
I think maybe they may not agree, you know, Dave and Jilla Baffert may not agree on a political platform, but from the state of being, you know, the revolutionary spirit and still the spirit of punk rock, you know, because there it's the spirit that drives punk rock. It's not necessarily a foundational set of ideals, right? Because like even this left leaning, it was never like, oh, we support the left government. No, it was like, we support anarchy. We burn it all down. Everybody's fucking wrong.
Hated all government. Yeah,
that's why it's just
guys like Reagan and Bush and all that were such easy targets for the punk rock.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, so was Clinton. You know, like I remember when everybody went after Clinton, and this climate we have where all of a sudden all the punk rockers won't touch Biden. I'm like, oh, come on, guys, there's so many great things going on here. Like, you could have a lot of fun, but it's just a weird thing, dude. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about, you know. But no, like that didn't surprise me. But I just don't think they did a great job. Like, it just, I don't think it was a good song for his range. I think Too Drunk to Fuck would have been a better one. I feel like that would have been good callback to 1980s Dave.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would have been more fun. Let's see. I could have stood for a Ramones cover from them, maybe. But let me tell you, This Planet's on Fire, the Sammy Hagar cover. Dude.
Okay, which I'm not familiar. I wasn't familiar with the original. What record is that on?
I don't know, but that's a great tune.
Okay.
And that was kind of going to be my point here, right? Is so, the best Megadeth covers are when Dave is not trying to cover something that's close to metal. Because honestly, like, their version of Anarchy in the UK is good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, but it's still not the greatest. Right. And if that's blasphemy, I'm sorry. but not really. But, you know, it's good. But then let's see here. Their cover of I Ain't Superstitious is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, phenomenal. Their cover of I Ain't Superstitious. Let's see here. I haven't heard Out on the Tiles. I don't think I've heard Paranoid. Because I pulled up, These Boots Are Made for Walking. That was one of my favorite Megadeth songs for a long time. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was not familiar with it, with the Nancy Sinatra version before. but I found it after. And I'm like, this is phenomenal. Like, that's a great Megadeth cover.
Yeah.
But when I was looking up to get a list of, like, you know, Megadeth covers, and I wanted to bring this up. This site lists Mechanics as a cover of a Metallica song.
Oh, what?
And I'm sitting here and thinking, I'm like, oh, apparently Dave hasn't seen this, or he would have kicked the crap out of this guy.
Oh, God.
And is this one of those things where somebody who doesn't know anything about metal put this together?
Exactly.
Because I'm like, well... Yeah. Are you calling it a cover because Metallica put it out first? Because Dave wrote it.
Like Mechanics, like predate Four Horsemen, or
no. The Four Horsemen was what Dave wrote with Metallica, and then he took that with him and did Mechanics and sped it the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, that'd be like, so think about like the Birds in Mr. Tambourine Man. Does that mean that Bob Dylan's version is a cover of the Birds, even though Bob Dylan wrote it, but the Birds put it out? You know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like it's just, it's ridiculous, dude. Or like Red Rubber Ball was written by Paul Simon, but, The Circle got to it first, put it out and sold millions of copies. So Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel aren't known for Red Rubber Ball, even though that's their song. So mm-hmm. are they covering them? You know, can they cover themselves? Yeah, I felt like that was like, oh, either somebody's really trying to piss Dave off, or they know nothing about
it. Yeah, I think it's the latter.
Yeah, it was just like, woo, woo boy. But yeah, like I loved This Planet's on Fire. I absolutely loved it. I'm like, wow, this is great. And I also feel that Dave's song or voice really fit well with that. You know,
mm-hmm. I'm going to have to give that another spin, and I'm going to have to go back and find the original. And I wouldn't be surprised if I have that song on a Sammy Hagar album down in the snowy vaults, I'm sure.
And Mission to Mars, dude. That's the one.
Okay. For sure. That's kind of the pisser. And I think I mentioned this last episode, but the only physical release for that so far is the vinyl, the double disc vinyl, $75 after taxes without the cover songs.
So that's also in my notes. I think let's see here, digital, vinyl, cassette, all different, all overpriced, in my opinion, and. Here's the deal. Do we need 12 songs on a record? Because for as great as this record was, how awesome would it have been to go to 7 Megadeth songs and a cover like they used to?
Yeah. That's another thing that I kind of noticed. Like 14 songs after the covers, it's like this is a lot. Like this is over an hour.
You know what's funny though? Like, it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't. Because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, this is a lot of songs. Like, I feel like they could have saved them for other releases, or it would have just been nice to have like an album with, you know, the stuff on it or whatever. Like have that old Megadeth format. But I gotta say, dude, like I said, I was doing yoga to this. I'm like, man, I love this record. I love it. And the time passes very quickly when I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh shit, it's over already. Like I got to Burn in Hell or This Planet's on Fire or whatever it is. I'm like, oh crap, it's done. Come on. It can't be over yet.
Well, time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. I'm going over the track listing here, and the idea of, like you said, 7 songs and the cover, I I think that would work. Like, you know, like the starting with the title track, the sick, the dying, and the dead. That works really well. It works into Life is Hell. Okay. Real, yeah. Night Stalker, Dogs of Chernobyl, Junkie would definitely be have to be one of the seven. Soldier On, and then Police Truck. And I think, yeah, I don't want to say this because they're all really good songs, but you're right. Like, less is more sometimes. Addition by subtraction. And I think that might actually work with this record even more. But like I said, I'm still kind of like, because these are all good songs. And I'm also kind of glad that they're on the record as well, if that makes any sense.
No, totally, dude. Totally.
Yeah. Speaking of the sick, the dying, and the dead, one of the first things you hear, bring out your
Yeah.
dead. Bring out your dead. I don't know if you're supposed to be busting a gut listening to Megadeth or whatever, but that definitely put a smile on my face because I'm assuming, like, that's Monty Python.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, like that was sampled right out of there. I'm sure. And that just came, you know, but I'm not dead. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. It's like, oh, like, because just the way that movie started like that. And that's a great way of starting this record as well. And another thing, like, this might be just it might be a minor thing, but to me, you know, being a big Megadeth fan right from the first record, the return of the three dots for a record like this,
Oh, yeah.
you have to
Yes.
have that. If you're going to create a record that you could slip into the 80s discography,
Yeah.
you kind of have to have, you know, that, okay, like, what do you call it? The, like, you have to have that, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
with the whole, word pattern. And all that. That's and it worked. It works in that capacity, and the title, the sick, the dying, dot dot dot, and the dead.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and it works. And Vic Rattlehead, of course. You know, that's a very 80s picture of him in that pose, and I think all of that works as well. What else you got in terms of this awesome new record?
Well, nothing else, but I did find the line. So it's in when like they're having the conversation with Mission Control, and it said the line is Starship Utopia. Earth has been vaporized, but we have found a new way, and you were the first in line. Dude, just and here's the thing. Like going back to the whole I'm so sick of hearing anybody call anybody conservative. And honestly, I'm also sick of hearing people say the Democrats or those liberals or whatever else you want to call
No,
them.
no, no. The Democrats are not liberals.
Oh no, they're interchangeable. Don't tell them that.
Yes,
Same thing,
yes.
you know. But that's why like I'm tired of hearing Republicans and conservatives, because a liberal wants less government, or no, I'm sorry, a liberal wants more government, a conservative wants less government, right? That's the simple. And like when you read through these lyrics, you know, he is talking about what's going on today, you know, about that th we're on a race to extinction, Countdown Extinction Part Two. You know, it doesn't matter your political party to identify that. You know, where the friction comes in is how people feel that should be addressed, you know, and what's the
Oh,
best
for
way to
sure.
course correct. So, yeah, like I don't know, I feel that this is It's just a great record, dude. It's a great record.
All across, yeah. No, for sure, for sure. Okay, it's still a little early, but at the end of the year, we have our Rammy Awards, Radioactive Metal, R-A-M, Rammy, Grammy, haha. Is this a contender?
Should we call this Comeback of the Year? Or Best New Artist?
maybe, because if... No, I'm sure Megadeth have charted before.
No, you know what, though? Seriously, thinking about that, I'm putting down Metallica as Best New Artist this year.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, they're our Best New Artist for Master of Puppets.
for sure, yeah. Yeah, you want to get into some tunage here?
Heck yeah.
Okay. Megadeth drummer, Dirk Verburen.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've heard his name like on other video shows and podcasts. I've actually heard it spoken, but I absolutely suck. But everyone knows who we're talking about. Okay, Dirk has been in a number of really cool bands, including Aborted, Soilwork. Okay, he was part of the Metal Against Coronavirus project. He's been a drummer for Satyricon, for Testament, at least on the live front. Jeff Loomis, at the Gates, Mortuary, Power Mad. It's just like all of these awesome bands that he has contributed to. Well, Cobra the Impaler is still a thing, and let's drop a track from their latest record, Colossal Gods. This is Scorched Earth. We'll be right back.
night that we got the truck. We're going downtown, gonna beat up the runs. You're turn to drive, I'll bring the beer. It's a late, late shift, no one to fear. Ride, ride, how we ride. And ride, you ride. It's a roundup time with a good horse beat. We're gonna drive one screaming off the street. And ride, ride, how we ride. Got a black uniform and a silver badge. Play cops for real and play cops for pay. Let's ride, shit in your pants. No move, child, got a big black stick. There's six of us, babe, so suck on my dick. And ride, ride, how we ride. Let's ride, you ride. The left newspapers might rewind a bit, but the guys at the station, they don't give a shit. Dispatch calls, oh, we're doing something wicked. No sorry, Jack, we're just giving tickets. Let's ride, ride, how we ride.
That was the sort of kind of aforementioned police truck from the Mighty Dead Kennedys. Twist My Arm in playing a DK's tune. Like, you know, Dave, like, you didn't have to go out, do all that studio time, do all that recording just so I could play a Dead Kennedys song. You didn't have to do it, Dave, but I appreciate it.
You know what I like about the original? Now that I've, like, gone back and given it another listen, it sounds less like a punk band from, you know, L.A. and more like a psychobilly band.
Yeah. Yeah. Dead Kennedys definitely, they had their own, like Jello's voice is so distinct.
Oh, very, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the most distinct vocals in any genre of music. And they had their own swagger, shall we? You know, they had their own musical vibe, their own musical swagger. And you couldn't always, you know, put your thumb on it. That's one of the things that made the Dead Kennedys so great. For sure, for sure. And before that, I went into the Snowy's Vault, grabbed the second Jagdpanzer record, Ample Destruction. That was Harder Than Steel, going back to about 1987, I guess. And of course, one Chris Broderick, ex-member of Megadeth, also did time in Jag later, you know, later era Jagdpanzer as well. So it's just amazing. You know, you have the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with all of these ex-members of Megadeth. You could probably pay, you know, the 6 degrees of Megadeth as well.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you say for Megadeth, the sick, the dying, the dead? Horns up, horns down,
horns way up, dude.
Horns way up.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And I know, dude, that you are going to say horns up to tonight's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this Indie Spotlight.
Hey, dude, if I mention to you, okay, we have this hard rock band, okay, out of Alberta with, and Alberta up here is, it's kind of the Texas of Canada, all right?
It's bigger, there's great Mexican food.
Yeah.
Which one?
I would say Texas, it's probably bigger than Alberta, and there's, yeah, and probably not much in the way of Mexican food there.
That's boring.
But just in terms of ideas and mentalities and the people and all that, Alberta is definitely the Texas of Canada. So that in mind, hailing from Alberta, okay, and the name of the band is Hell Diablo.
Oh, I like that name. Which a that's lot.
Amazing moniker. Yeah, you know, okay. Alberta, Hell Diablo. We are talking some really cool whiskey drenched bar rock that I'm sure they have records from bands like ZZ Top and Nashville Pussy in their collections. And you mix all that together, you get the great new single, Push Comes to Shove, from Hell Diablo.
Fuck!
Facebook.com/HellDiablo1 or HellDiablo.bandcamp.com. Check them out. Like I said, that is some good whiskey-drenched rock and roll that I think I'm going to give that song another listen to, as I have a couple more belts before I step out into the night tonight. So once again, my friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me and all of our fine listeners this week and talking the new Megadeth record. I'm really excited, really excited. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, dear Snowman, radioactivemetal.org. That's where all episodes past, present, and future can be found. Little write-ups, all sorts of like just fun things like that. If you want to see pictures, when we talk about things that need a picture, like the shirt I'm wearing today, as we record this, I am wearing my Metallica Surfing Skeleton shirt, and that was posted on the Instagram today to go with last week's Metal Fix.
Right on.
Because, you know, I feel like we're traversing space and time here, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
It was for last week, but it's today, and you'll hear this next week.
Ooh.
Think about that.
Always mess with their heads.
So,
always.
At RadMetal666, that's where you can see those things. Facebook.com/RadMetal. And RadMetal666@gmail.com to send us an email. And last but not least, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, and thanks to the Shining Wizards, you can find us on Spotify as well as iTunes and pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. We're there. Like the glitter of the internet. Just when you think you've got us all mopped up, we're still there.
Yeah. We're the glitter on a stripper's ass. Just when you think it's all washed off. No, it's still there from the night before.
Snowy's not going to stop stripping, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Well, I'm seriously thinking of an OnlyFans as well.
I think you should.
I think we have enough female listeners that will shell out a couple bucks every month just to get a piece of the snowman, I think.
Or at least for us to put clothes on.
That's right. That's right. There's my OnlyFans. I start off naked and people pay me to get dressed. With everyone but the exception of my wife. Yeah. Once again, before we get on out of here, www.loudawards.ca. Go there. Mark and X in the Ambassador of the Year for your cool Uncle Snowy. Do me a large. I would really appreciate it. To get us on out of here, I decided, because I know Dave, Mega Dave has got, you know, he's got some Manila Road in his collection. I'm sure that early stuff from the 80s, but I thought, you know what, let's go to a more recent record, the 2017 To Kill a King album. And dude, actually, maybe I'm slipping in my old age, but I didn't know Manila Road did a record back in 2017. I don't think we covered it, and that was definitely on us. So we're going to make up for lost time now. We'll go out with the track Blood Island. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Between the What and the Rust episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Beast of blood of man, Dr. Strange. Just erased. Nothing can save you in this place.